Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. You know, this is a day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice in it. It's a common phrase, but it's so true. You know, in this life, we have a lot of decisions to make, have made, going to make. Decisions are important. But I was thinking about heaven or hell. Oh, preacher, we don't like to talk about them things. Well, I know we don't, but we need to, because when we leave this life, we're going to go and be somewhere else. That is a promise. Now, if those people that don't believe in a heaven or a hell, well, that's okay. They're going to have to pay the consequences or not pay the consequences, whatever the case may be. We are talking this week on the message about the gospel in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And you say, well, these are great little stories. I just love these little stories. Jesus tells the story. But you know, a parable is a story of an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Wow, what do you think about that? Well, parables have a way of touching our heart in a way that sometimes other gospel stories don't. So what would make a parable like the rich man and Lazarus, would make a man with three doctoral degrees, one in medicine, one in theology, and one in philosophy, leave his comfortable civilization with all its culture and amenities and depart from the wonderful life in North America to the jungles of the darkest of Africa? What parable could induce a man to do that, who was recognized as one of the best concert organists in all of Europe and America, to go to a place where there were no organs to play? What a parable would so intensely motivate a person to give up his teaching position in Vienna and Austria and many places around our known world, and deal with people who were so deprived that they were still living in superstitions of the Dark Ages for all practical purposes. I think sometimes we're all still living in the Dark Ages, but I digress. The man I'm talking about, of course, is Dr. Albert Schweitzer. In this single parable that so radically altered his life, and according to him, this text that we shared this week in the lectionary series, Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31, it was the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, the rich man, as we shared in our message, you know, they saw each other every day, the rich man and Lazarus. Now, they weren't sociably meeting, and we understand that, but they had contact. They were basically neighbors. So every day, the rich man saw the beggar at his front gate, and who were these people around? Well, we call him the rich man, which derives some of the different words from Latin, indicating, yeah, it was a rich man. And he had been called for centuries a rich man. And he would have felt very comfortable living in our day and time, because rich, whether it was 2,000-3,000 years ago, is not much different than rich in our day and time. The things were about the same. Now, Schweitzer, I'm pretty sure, was touched by this, because the story is really a kind of progressive kind of story. You know, like in our society today, we have progressive and not progressive and liberal and not liberal. You know, as I say, times have changed, but human nature has never changed. So you have the rich and the poor. We see that all the time through our society, our day and time. It just breaks my heart to see. Now you're seeing a lot of young people. At one time we used to call them hobos or whatever, but now you're seeing a lot of young people standing along the roads with a sign. Well, I digress again. The contrasting lifestyle in the scripture of these two men, the rich man and Lazarus, I don't think we can miss it. We know that fine things in life is desirable, and we all love them, and I like them. We like to go to the nicest of the restaurants and there, all the other things. But we're told in verse 9 that he habitually dressed in purple, talking about the rich man. Because we know that purple, over the years, is a color for royalty. And it's a very expensive dye, even ancient time and even now. The color purple is very expensive. And sometimes, back then, it was only for the echelon or the high priest could afford that kind of dye and different things for their garments. And we are told in scripture that even the rich man, he had underwear made from linen. That's pretty cool. The lifestyle of the rich and famous. I loved that story when it used to be on television. But we got to focus on the other person in the story, which is Lazarus. How can we describe Lazarus? Well, let's put him into our modern culture. Lazarus, we're told, was basically homeless. We're told that he was probably around 20 years old and he was crippled. It kind of tells us about that a little bit in verse 20. But we're having to think, and that's why I like to say, take the Gospels and put yourself in the Gospel. You know, insert your name or however you can do to let the Holy Spirit reveal to you the things of the Scriptures and how they affect us and how they affect others. And back to that word mitzvah that we talked about last week in the message, you know, our relationship between people and God. Well, sometimes, since we don't have video or we don't have internet back then, we don't really know because they never took any pictures or anything like that to let us know how old this guy was, but he was probably fairly young. 20? Don't know that for sure, but pretty sure he was fairly young. Lazarus barely made it from day to day. You know people like that? People around us? Maybe we don't personally know them. But we see on the news or anything like that, people just living day to day. It's sad. Maybe just living off of leftovers. And just doing different things. But as the day goes by, he's just a survivor, whoever is living out there on the streets or homeless. And I think that's all we can say about that. But are we, as people of the living God at Christ, are we doing what we can do? Maybe not in money or any other ways, but responsible for helping even in our own family, the people close to us, sharing the gospel. Because the Bible's very clear. It's either heaven or hell when we're done with this life that we're currently living in. Amen. Think about it. That's all I can say. Think about it. I make a lot of mistakes, and I feel apprehensive even driving up to a red light and somebody come up to the car with the sign. I don't know. I usually don't give them money. But if they want something to eat, I think we should at least take them to some place, a restaurant or whatever, or McDonald's or somewhere, and maybe get them a bite to eat. But there is that division. It's been that way for years and years and years. But we have a responsibility to plant the gospel into people. Now, I don't know what the answer is, and I'm not trying to be preachy, although I'm a preacher, but I am not trying to say one thing or another. This is better than that, but we have a serious problem in this rich, rich country that we live in, the United States of America. But there's other parts of the world that are also rich that they don't take care of their poor, you know? Think of the oil-rich nations and all that. If you ever been overseas, Judy and I got stuck in Egypt one time, and while we were waiting for our flights to leave, looking around, and we, from our hotel room, we could see the beautiful pyramids. What a beautiful sight. Postcard picture. And then you look down, and you can't imagine the poverty that was right there in Cairo, Egypt. Oh, well. I don't know. It's just something to think about. That's all we can do. Well, we have a lot of people that we lift up in prayer. We talk about it in church. We have lists on our bulletin covers and all that. But, you know, prayer is something very, very important individually to all of us. You know, you don't need a 1-800 number or you don't need anything. You can talk to God directly because you say, Lord, come into my life and be Lord over it. And that gives you access to God the Father. Now, He already knows everything about you because, hey, He created you. So pour out your heart. Now you can do it silently because He knows your spirit. Your spirit and His spirit connects. You can audibly cry out in prayer, either corporately or individual. So pray. Have that relationship with God and somehow, some way, share that good news with somebody because it comes down to heaven or hell. Amen? Well, we always close this little segment with the prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples by praying. Now, this is the model prayer, and you can use it for all of your prayers to line up with. If you break it down, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, hope and pray you're having a good day, and thank you for letting me ramble a little bit, not trying to put you on a guilt trip, or even myself. Sometimes I have to look in the mirror. I love that little story about the person in the glass. Who's your best friend? The person in the glass. Think about it. Look in the mirror and see your best friend today. Amen. God bless you. I love you. God loves you. We love you here at Bethel UMC.